Corinthians, the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I shall begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 7. And raise and answer the question, what must I do to be lost? What must I do to be lost? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His precious word. What must I do to be lost? Brian Primes was saved in this altar. He was a lost church member. Christy Lambert was saved in my living room. She was a lost church member. Through the years, I have seen many, many church members, yea, even some preachers, saved by the grace of God. And you've heard sermon after sermon on what must I do to be saved. But have you ever heard a sermon on what must I do to be lost? In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus gives a beautiful threefold parable. And in this beautiful threefold parable, He points out to the deep thinker and to the very studious person the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this parable, there is, first of all, a man that has 100 sheep, and he loses one of them. And there is, second, a woman that had 10 pieces of silver, and she loses one of them. And third, there is a father that has 2 sons. And he loses one of them. The one that had the sheep left the 99 and went out on the mountains wild and high and found the lost sheep and put it on his shoulders and came home rejoicing. And according to the 6th verse of the 15th chapter of Luke, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Brother Wayne, that pictures the work of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the woman that had 10 pieces of silver, and those particular pieces of silver represented a part of her wedding dowry. And one of those pieces had been lost. and with tongues wagging in those days like they do in these days, someone could have falsely accused this woman of using one piece of that jewelry to buy herself a lover instead of the one she was espoused to. And so she was very concerned. And she swept the house, Brother Hershey. And when she found it, according to Luke 15:9, she called together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that was lost." And Brother Morris, that woman sweeping that house, looking for that lost coin, is a picture of how the Holy Spirit works as He sweeps the house of God when the gospel is preached, searching for God's lost sheep. And then that father, who was overindulgent and listened to the demands of a selfish son before time for his inheritance, divided his living, and his younger son took his money and took a journey into a far country and there wasted everything he had on riotous living. And the whole time he was gone, there was never a day that the father didn't love him or think about. And one day in the filth and the stench of the hog pen, he came to himself. And he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against thee and I have sinned against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he started home. And when his father saw him a great way off, Larry, he ran out to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said in the 15th chapter of Luke, verse 21, "For this my son was dead." And that's the plight of every sinner. He's dead. And he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And the unchanging love, Brother Epperson, of this father for this rebellious son is typical of God's eternal love for his home. So in this parable we see the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and each one of them has occasion to rejoice because the sheep had been found, because the piece of jewelry or coin had been found, and because the lost son had been found and come home. What must I do to be lost? Well, I must be satisfied with my earthly birth. January 10, 1926, on a cold wintry night, some thieves had stolen over 100 fruit trees from my father, and he and some others were out searching for thieves when my mother went into labor. And about 15 minutes after my father got home, out searching for thieves, little twin boys were born. They were added to 8 other children. My mother was 41 years of age. I'm going to tell you, if you folks think there's some hard times now, you ought to go back to then. Amen. But we didn't know it, Brother George. We always had plenty to eat. Not anything fancy, but we stayed warm. Well, I never did even know that I was poor till I got to church. Or rather, I got to school one morning and found 3 hickory nuts in the lunchbox. That's when I found out I was really poor. But I think about that humble birth. Not in a fancy hospital, It's 1503 North 3rd Avenue. In a very modest, modest little house. But I read in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of what? I read in Job 5:7, yet man is born under trouble and the sparks fly upward. And when I think of my humble birth, when I think of my beginning, and I see that one day in God's sovereignty and God's grace, He allowed me to hear the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit of God quickened my soul and later called me to preach the gospel, I'm glad this evening that I can say with the very depths of my soul that I'm glad I didn't just have one birth, I'm glad that I had two births. For you see, to be lost, you must be satisfied with your first birth. But there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And let me stop right here and say he missed it right there, because Jesus was not a teacher come from God. Jesus was God come to teach. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest. That's what Nicodemus said. And Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said unto him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be what you tell me. You must be born again. Now listen to me. Here was a very prominent, intelligent Jew. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He was intellectually one of the smartest men of his day, and yet Jesus looked him right in the face and said, just being born into your rich Jewish family is not enough. You must be born again. And I believe Nicodemus got saved. You know why I believe that, Brother Trimble? Because when my Lord died, it was Joseph of Arimathea, or Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, who came with Nicodemus to Pilate and requested the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took 100 pounds of spices that they had bought and wrapped his body in those linen clothes as the manner of the Jews was to bury. This is fruits of the fact that Nicodemus was saved by the grace of God. What must I do to be lost? I must be satisfied for my humble birth. I'm glad I've been born again. I must be satisfied with my fleshly nature. You know, I get amazed at some of these women that always call their children little angels. I've seen them that have the proficiency to slam a door that you'd think the sonic boom had been broken. I've seen them make faces at their mom and daddy when they told them to do something. I've seen them be anything but little angels. And there have been times that I wanted to call some of them little devils. You know what I'm talking about? Now you say, Brother Brunson, that's strong. No, it isn't. Because even a little baby will manifest the natural flesh of Adam. I read in Ephesians chapter 2, and you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen now, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as us. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, the natural man, receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither indeed can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And for a man to be lost, he must be satisfied with earthly birth. He must be satisfied with his own nature. But if he ever gets to heaven, he won't get there with a fleshly nature. He'll get there with a nature that's been changed by the power of God. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Let me tell you something. When little Blackman was born, he took on the nature of Tim and Kim. And when you were born, you took on the nature of your parents. But that glad, happy day when you were born again, you've got a new nature. And that new nature inside of you is just as pure as the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, or his nature remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Brother Brunson, are you preaching sinless perfection in the flesh? Nay, nay, 10,000 times nay. But I'm saying there is something about a born-again Christian that's just as pure as the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's that part that's been born of the Spirit of God. And you leave here with this in your mind, and don't you ever forget it. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to sin. It's impossible for you not to sin in your flesh. But if you've been saved, there is a part of you that cannot sin, because it's the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Wayne, that ought to put us on our face. It ought to put us on our face. What must I do to be lost? I must be satisfied with my own nature. What must I do to be lost? I must be satisfied with my first father. I know what you're thinking, that I'm going to refer to Mr. Robert E. Lee Buston. And though I have, I am not. Doesn't that sound crazy? Though I have, I am not. You see, as a sinner, my first father was not my earthly father. My first father, from a spiritual standpoint, was somebody else. Many years ago, I got on an airplane in Dallas, Texas. And there was the prettiest little old girl, about 8 years old, standing there with a man and woman. And the woman walked over to me and said, "Sir, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to St. Louis, Missouri." She said, "This is where my little girl is going. Would you please sit with her and see that she gets with her parents?" Now today, all you have to do is just tell a spirit, and they'll take care of that for you. I don't know whether they did then or not, but I'm telling you what happened to me. And I said, "You can rest assured. I'll sit with this little girl, and I'll see that she gets to the people she's supposed to get to."
We got on that airplane. I told her my name. She told me hers. I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to see my first father." Bless her little heart. Bless her little heart. "I'm going to see my first father." We got off of that airplane in St. Louis, Missouri. And I held her little hand. We got off the plane. We walked out to the place where people were waiting. And all of a sudden, I saw a great big old man start running toward that little girl. Another woman beside him. That little girl said, "There's my first father." And they embraced. I walked up, told them who I was, and I said, "I've been kind of looking out after." They thanked me, and I went on board. I went home, built me a sermon on it, called "My First Father." I'll preach it to you sometime. But Jesus said, "You are of your father, the whom?" The devil. "And the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And the reason some people act like the devil, I'm talking about men and women and boys and girls, is because they're acting like their daddy. They're acting like their daddy. 1 John the 3rd chapter said, "In this are the children of God, and the children of the devil manifest." And there are only two classes of people in this world, and it's not the rich and the poor. It's not the educated and the uneducated. It's the children of God and the children of the devil. And you can just mark it down tonight. I repeat, the reason some folks act like the devil is because that's who their daddy is. "What must I do to be lost? I must be satisfied with my humble birth, with my old fleshly nature, and with my first father." But when you get saved, you got a second birth. When you get saved, you got a new nature. And that's when you get a warfare system. That's right. There's something inside of you that'll tell you instantaneously when you do something wrong. Nobody else will have to tell you. And as long as you live, that warfare will be there. That's the new nature and the old nature. And then you have a new father. Brother, that's almost shouting. And we can lift our voices and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins or trespasses, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the power of evil. For thou art the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever." And I can tell you tonight, the devil is not my daddy. The Lord God Almighty, who sits in His throne in heaven, is my Father. What must I do to be lost? Be satisfied with my humble birth, my fleshly nature, and my first father. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're not lost? I didn't mean to say all that, but I'm glad I did. Let's sing, Wayne.